Amen. It's a joy for Sharon and myself to be back with you again, and hopefully in the future with a new pastor be able to come back and visit as well. Hear the word of God, brothers and sisters, taken from Luke chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 5. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And then going over to Revelation chapter 5, we read these words. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll into its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding, I emphasize this, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open his seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of our God is eternal." Let us unite our hearts in prayer, please. Lord God, I thank you that your word is eternal. I do pray and ask that you would use it to encourage and strengthen and help us in these days to focus our attention upon Jesus Christ, the one who is to be preeminent. He must increase and we must decrease. I pray and ask that you would take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, and may they truly be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, you may be aware because of a time that my wife and I were here many years ago, that we spent some time over the last, 15 or 16 years ministering in the country of Ukraine. And years ago, I had the opportunity of holding a little baby at the beginning of the sermon. And the reason for doing this, it wasn't something that I had planned ahead of time, but it was something that one of the mothers there at the church was standing with Sharon and myself at the back before actually going up front and preaching. And I asked her if it'd be possible to have a little child to introduce the sermon. And the sermon and the focus of the sermon was upon prayer. Because prayer, brothers and sisters, is more than just information to Almighty God. God knows everything. God knows what we need even before we speak our needs. The focus of our prayer should be upon Almighty God. We are to be intimately acquainted and express that in our prayer. It's coming into the loving arms of a heavenly Father and caring and expressing what's in our heart's desire for the needs of the people that we care about, but primarily based upon what we just heard from Revelation, and as we'll see in just a moment, the life of Christ. We are to be like Christ. We are to have the same attitude as Jesus. We are to humble ourselves and become obedient, even to the point of death. We can't do what Jesus did. He was unique. He was without sin, but he was willing to bear my sin, your sin, in his body upon the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we, through his righteousness, might become righteous before Almighty God. Well, as I express some of this introduction, the little baby, who couldn't walk at the time, reached up and started to stroke this little beard. And it was so impressive to the people that they clapped. They clapped. It was as if I had spoken to the mother and the little child who couldn't speak at the time about what to do. But it was a responsive element on the part of a little child with a grandfather, with a daddy. Brothers and sisters, prayer is intimacy with the Heavenly Father, a triune God. And there's a way to describe this in terms of the word, Greek word that is used for prayer, primarily in the New Testament. It's prosuche. Prosuche. Pro, split it up, take it apart. Pro means something that comes before. It stands out. It's something that precedes what you're about ready to say. You know, usually on our faces we have a proboscis, a nose. It stands out in front of the rest of our body. That's the first part of prosuche. Suke. Suke, the second part, is like the wish of a little child. Highly understood, prayer is a little child, a child of God, coming before a heavenly Father and saying, Daddy, I love you. I love you so much that you are willing to die for me. I'm a sinner. You know that. All of us are sinners, and we deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come and we crawl up into Daddy's, our Heavenly Father's. We said earlier, our Father. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And then we turn our attention to give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts and our trespasses as we have forgiven others. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. This is prayer, brothers and sisters. This is prayer. It is coming before God as a child. I'm older, as many of us are, but I'm still under construction. When I graduated from seminary years ago, I thought I had all the answers. But as I become older, I realize there's a lot that I do not know and understand. And that's why I've said this morning in the title, prayer is spiritual oxygen. We just kind of take it for granted, I think. Just like we breathe. And where did that oxygen come from? It's a gift from God. But God says, I want you to come into my loving arms and care for me in this way. At the beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus, as we read, he was baptized. And we don't have the word Trinity in the Bible, but we have illustrations of Trinity, and here is one. We had God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have God in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And he was baptized. After he prayed, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. But also, the Heavenly Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." We go through the life of Christ and we see lessons in many other places in the Bible. We are to be identified with Christ. Jesus was praying. It was his custom. It was often. Many times it was all night by himself. The sinless Son of God was a illustration, an example to us of prayer. One of the longest prayers in the Bible. It should be called the Lord's Prayer. We have the Lord's Prayer, but it's more the disciples' prayer that we recite from time to time. The Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17. You go back to John 17, and what do you find? You find a focus upon the Son of God. In the first three Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have the account of Jesus becoming angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because of something that had happened or was happening in God's house. And quoting from Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7, Jesus said, "My house is called a house of prayer." It's called a house of prayer. God's house does not exist in a building made with hands. Beautiful building that God has provided you here. But one day, this building will be destroyed. But we, the people who are true believers in Jesus Christ, are the house of God. You and I are called living stones being built into a spiritual house, God's building. And one of the characteristics of God's building is to be a house of prayer. Prayer is crawling up into a Heavenly Father's lap, face to face, facing with Him our deepest desires of our heart. Prosuke. Prayer involves many things. Confession, intercession, worship, many other things I could say, but think about that. There will come a time, when we will no longer have to confess and intercede in prayer for people. Nothing is remaining but that which is symbolized in the bowls of incense that I referred to from Revelation chapter 5. All prayer, listen, I hope you're still with me, all prayer should include praise and worship of God, because it will at the second coming of Christ. Because of that intimacy with our triune God, a Father who loves us before the foundation of the world, a Son who loves us so much that He was willing to take our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we through His righteousness might be righteous before God. And it's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that loves us so much that we can pray, even when it's hard to pray, Abba, Daddy, Father. God, the triune God, enables us to pray. Prayer is spiritual oxygen. Therefore, I say to you, no Christian is greater than their prayer life. A Christian who is not praying is plain. Matthew 26, 41. Christians who are not praying are straying. It is important to talk to people about God, but it's more important to talk to God about people. Colossians 4. Prayer is not preparation for battle. It is the battle of the Christian life. Ephesians chapter 6. Many things are necessary, but prayer is indispensable. Luke chapter 10. Prayer of a righteous man is effective, powerful, and effective. James 5. And I think we still find it hard to believe that prayer is more important than action. Acts chapter 1. True prayer is a way of the Christian life. It is spiritual oxygen, not an emergency detour. The Lord has blessed Sharon and myself with 12 grandchildren. And one of the things that grandparents used to do is they hold a coin in their hand. And the idea is for the grandchildren to come up to their grandfather and kind of pry open their fingers and receive the coin. And when they do, there is great excitement on the part of the grandchild and the other people that are observing this taking place. And the excitement, unfortunately, is that, look, the grandchild received the coin. And there's great enjoyment in the gift that has been given to or taken by the child, rather than where did that gift come from. Sometimes we get so excited about the gifts that God has given to us, and rightly so, rightly so. But what I'm seeking to encourage us today is let's not forget the giver of the gifts. God Almighty, I submit to you, think and practice prayer as spiritual oxygen. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray and ask that you would unite our hearts in a way that brings glory to you, and that you would truly be manifested in our words, our attitudes, our actions. But certainly, I pray that it will be a people of prayer. We are the house of God that is to be a house of prayer. I ask that we would encourage one another, that we would be encouraged in these days when a lot of things are happening that are improper and are discouraging to us. I pray that we would keep our eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith. In his name we pray. Amen.